want to be sick.
All right. It's Rick Emerson. Not about anything that is mad. Hi. Thank you for coming
real
by.
Discreet.
Yeah. 503, no one knows. 503-733-2970. Do we have the haiku music?
Yes.
I now hold, and then we'll get to these calls about the sound. And then we've got Criswell. Hey, Scotty, we'll do Criswell here at like 20 after maybe. Criswell. I now hold in my hands the Green Apron book. Thank you. This is from the Starbucks Green Apron book. I hold here. Page 1. Give. Connect. Elevate. Is that really what... This is a stupid book. We are here to provide... I swear to God, this is what the Starbucks Green Apron book says. We are here to provide an uplifting experience that enriches people's daily lives. We do this in legendary ways. Big. And... small. All right, there you go. That's page 1 of the Green Apron book. That was exciting, wasn't it? Now, the best part is we've got like pages of platitudes, but then we've got later on, we won't get to this today, but we've got literally pages of detailed instructions. There is a whole page of instructions on how to, quote, be genuine. Logically speaking, it doesn't seem like you could instruct people on how to be genuine. It's like instructing on someone on how to, quote, act naturally. But we'll get to that. Here's a sample piece of advice on how to be genuine. This is from Starbucks. Oh, thank you. Focus on the positive, on what you can do, not on what you cannot do. And remember always, it's like the Desiderata, remember always that learning about coffee is an everyday adventure. I swear to God it says that. Learning about coffee is an everyday adventure.
I can't put the lids on the hot cups properly, so I think I'll skip that step and just...
Share your coffee passion with partners and customers through coffee tastings.
May I take a drink of your coffee?
Your coffee enthusiasm will be contagious. All right, there you go. Readings from the Green Apron book. The build-up to that over like a week was a lot better than the actual book. Well, what can you do? It's 503-733-20. We will have, at 20 after now, it says on the screen, we'll be having Criswell. He may correct me at some point with his full name, but it doesn't matter. I don't even remember what his real name is.
Are you just going to call him Criswell?
Well, it is like something Criswell. What's his first name, Scotty? What is Criswell's first name? Do you even remember? Chris Criswell.
Oh.
That's sad.
That's what I thought.
My name is Jake Jacobs. Good to meet you. I'm going to move through these calls as they say one at a time. So if you're there, hang on. We'll get to you promptly. Robert, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What do you got, brother?
Well, Rick, I think it's an old crank start lawnmower or crank start engine for a car.
Oh, the mystery sound.
Yes.
No, that's right. Do you think it's a crank start for a lawnmower?
Or a crank start for a car.
For what? Like a Model T?
No, like... either, you know, some kind of car or some kind of lawnmower engine. It's a crank start for it.
You don't really know anything about cars, do you? You're just sort of bluffing your way through this by saying, quote, some kind of car.
Yes, I do.
What kind of car would make that noise? You don't know.
An older car.
My grandfather had an old car. I can't remember exactly what it was, but
back
in New York.
And you crank started it?
And you crank started it.
Okay. And this was like a Model T type car?
Yes.
Okay. That's an interesting guess. It's totally wrong, but that's an interesting guess. I didn't really know that. I thought those were much older. I didn't think that was a recent thing at all.
Well, glad that you're all back to Portland.
All right.
Radio.
Thank you, Robert. Are you spreading the word, sir?
Yes, definitely. Some dark days when you weren't there.
Thank you, my friend. Well, we are glad to be back. It was dark for us as well. We're glad to be back among you.
All right.
Thank you, Robert. All right, there you go. All right. He was a nice guy. I'm sad that he was so wrong. No, there's no... Well, damn. There's no car that starts with that noise. If your car starts with that noise, you're a little plastic man with Fisher-Price hair.
Oh, that's like when your battery's dead sometimes?
Yeah, that's totally when you're in the car like, oh, boy, it's cold out. I'm glad the car's going to start that...
I have to get to that job interview I've been waiting for 2 weeks.
Mike, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hey, what's going on, Rick?
I just spat on the microphone there, kind of booby doctor stop. Mike.
I know.
What's up?
Kind of sexy, I guess. I had a headline I kind of wanted to do really quick, too. Is
okay.
That too stupid?
Yes. No. Bring it. What is the headline?
In Omaha today, police decided to roll a fatty.
Okay, that's really funny. That's actually funnier than the blah, 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 pot belly. Roll a fatty is really funny. That's, sir, you're too good to work at WFYI. You should be working at, whatever their crosstown competitor is. You.
Oh, sir, please, don't call me.
No, you could replace Laura Caviezel at CNN with that kind of head writing ability.
Well, I already am.
All right.
Process.
Okay. What
my mystery sound guest.
Yes.
You are really driving me to kill myself every night, but I think
there are people out there who literally, they wake up every morning, they're thinking the mystery sound. They go to bed every night, they're thinking the mystery sound. They try to make love to their wives, they're thinking the mystery sound. They're going to be under. There are probably people, I'm just saying statistically speaking, the actuarial averages indicate that there is probably someone out there. Just, again, not to be morbid, it's a numbers game, though. You figure there's probably someone within the sound of this radio program that is on their deathbed. There is probably someone, statistically speaking, listening to the show who is on the verge of dying, who may, in fact, pass away and be embraced in the sweet, warm bosom of Jesus while wondering about the mystery sound.
Screaming, I believe in the mystery sound and clapping their hands.
Yes. Okay, what is your guess, sir?
Is it like a 1960s IBM printer?
No, it is not. No, but thank you.
Dumb?
That's a good guess, though.
Is that dumb?
No. It's a great. I'm sorry. Do you need Sarah?
I need approval.
Sarah, will you give him approval? Will you? Will
oh
give
no,
him
that wasn't a bad guess.
Affirmations? No, like a dot matrix printer.
I mean, I think they had dot matrix.
I was with bad meat as a child, I guess.
No. You were okay.
What?
No.
I don't know what that means. I have to go now.
Okay.
Oh,
bye.
Now.
Bye, Mike. We made Mike and the baby Jesus cry.
Bad meat as a child?
I thought it was bad mead, but maybe bad meat as well. All right. Let's see. Good God. Is this George in Wilsonville? Scotty? Is this George in Wilsonville? No, it's a different George. I don't believe you. George?
Yeah.
Hello, George. How can I help you, sir?
I was back in New York, and I didn't see one thing on the New York Press about Sarah Dillon being back here. She was so behavior.
Uh-huh. What?
Sorry, I called in to get a phone number. I'm sorry.
Who are you looking for, sir?
I'm trying to get a phone number off one of your spots.
Oh, you're looking for the number for one of our commercials.
Right.
All right. I'll tell you what. Your phone is kind of breaking up here. Scotty, do me a favor. Scotty, see if you can figure out what information he's looking for, and a phone number. We'll shoot that his way. He's got a whole thing going on there. All right.
Best
boy, this is just
ever.
A never. It really is, but God, it's just a never-ending slog here. The CJ, hi. Some guy in a road crew is weeping tears for us right now with how difficult it is. Hi, CJ. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Roll a fatty. That is funny.
Yeah, roll a fatty really is funny. That's like afternoon FM DJ funny. It really is pretty funny.
Yeah, that's like professional writing funny.
Yes. Sell that joke to Leno for $5. What's up?
Two quick things.
Yes.
I'm at the Gypsy last weekend, which is a fine concept facility with a couple of my buddies, and we're talking about...
The Gypsy's got great hamburgers. They have it's like a Tex-Mex burger kind of thing that I love.
Oh, yeah. Well, great food in general.
Yeah.
But you're right.
Yes.
And we were talking about how alligators cannot be in the Columbia, and a couple of younger gals overheard our conversation, and we invited them to sit down at our table, and I'm not joking. She said, what are you guys talking about? I said, we're talking about how alligators or crocodiles can't be in the Columbia River. And as serious as a heart attack, she looked at the whole table and goes, well, duh, it's because the sea lions would eat them just like the salmon. And I'm not joking. She was convinced that's why alligators could not exist in the Columbia River.
Outcome-based education, right?
Yeah,
there.
And public, there we go.
Yeah.
Moving along, I think that a line that your cohort uttered earlier today can be used both as a connotation for self-gratification or the conquest of the opposite sex, and I will use it in a sentence to illustrate my point.
All right.
But you guys sit around talking. Hey, what are you going to do tonight? Well, I think I'd probably meet Todd and Jeff and go to a couple bars. What are you going to do? I'm pretty tired. I think I'm going to go home and order pizza, maybe curse Aunt Jemima a couple times and call tonight. And then it could work the other way. I was in Vegas last weekend, and I met the smoking hottie at the Ghost Bar. Couple of drinks, we go back to the room, we cursed Aunt Jemima for a couple hours, and then we hit the buffet.
Jesus God.
That's all I go. Oh, and I think the sound is, I'm going to go with New Year's Eve noisemaker.
Oh, that's a really, 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 really wrong, but good guess.
I'm surprised nobody guessed that before.
No.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, but I got to say, you deserve genius and props, sir, for turning an utterance by Tim Riley into its own catchphrase.
Well, I mean, frankly, and as the way my dating scene's going, I might just go ahead and just cut out of work early and curse Aunt Jemima and then go catch the Oregon State baseball game.
That's the best thing I've ever heard. Thank you, CJ.
I'll talk to you later, man.
All right, there you go.
We shouldn't have made him wait so long.
No, I feel bad that he waited like an hour.
But it was worth it. He probably polished it up a little bit.
Probably polished it up.
Mm-hmm.
He probably cursed Aunt Jemima a little bit.
Yeah.
Cursed Aunt Jemima. Why are all these phones ringing?
I don't think that can be topped.
No, I really can't. Seriously, we should just leave for the day. Well, we've got Criswell coming up at 20 after. Look at all of these. Is this Criswell on? This is Criswell on line 6. All right. Do we have any spooky music that's not the Clyde theme? Do we have any sort of like, whoo? We should have talked to Darren, the production guy. He could have hooked us up with some spooky music. Can anybody hum the theme from Ed Wood? Can anybody?
I'm huge.
No, that's not going to work. All right. Well, there you go. This actually kind of works.
It does.
And now, peering. God damn. Great. And now, joining Criswell. Hello, sir. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, how are you, sir?
Good.
All right.
That's quite an intro.
I'm sorry. I had all day to prepare for that, too, and didn't really come together. You don't mind if I just call you Criswell, do you?
No, that's fine.
Thank you, sir. Let me ask you this. Are you an employee at the Oregon Museum of Science and Industry?
No, I'm not. We have assisted them with their reptile amphibian issues in the past. I am the manager of a local reptile amphibian store here in Portland, and so.
What is the store, sir, if you want to say?
Healthy Pet Exotics.
Okay, and you sell reptiles and lizards?
And amphibians.
And you, what is the most exotic amphibian you sell?
Oh, gosh. I mean, the one that's the most popular is and actually she's not for sale. We use her as a display animal. It's a 13-foot-long Burmese python.
And that's just sort of to bring people. Now, lizards are not necessarily amphibians, right?
Correct.
An amphibian is a thing that can breathe both in water and on land. A lizard, what is the definition of a reptile?
Well, a reptile is a scaled animal that is terrestrial. One of the prime differences between a reptile and amphibian is that a reptile has essentially two lives. It's born in the water with gills and develops into an adult animal that breathes through lungs on land.
Okay.
Although it can move back and forth in the water.
And so, a frog is an amphibian, but not a reptile.
Correct.
Excellent. Now, are any lizards also also amphibians?
Lizards. There's some salamanders. Salamanders are amphibians.
All right.
But you're not both. You're one or the other.
All right. Fantastic.
Crocodiles and alligators, which I understand is the issue of the day,
sort of
are
the
reptiles.
Yes, that's sort of the thrust here. Yeah. Now, before we get to the crux here, is it true, because I say this a lot, but you know what? I say a lot of things that are probably crap. Did you just burp?
No, I was laughing.
Ah, sounded like a little laugh that turned into like a belch there.
Right.
All right. Well, that's okay. We're sort of a relaxed programming.
I
kind
understand.
Of a laissez-faire kind of. I say this a lot. Is it fundamentally true? Is it fair to say, Criswell, that alligators and crocodiles are more or less dinosaurs that exist in the modern era?
Yes, that is correct.
They are unchanged for the last how many years?
Relatively speaking, they have existed unchanged for millions of years.
Really? So that's, if you were to go back and see an alligator million years ago, it looks pretty much the same as the one we got now.
It would have been a lot larger, but it would have looked very similar.
What is the average size of an adult alligator now?
An American alligator, well, probably the average size is around 9 or 10 feet. They don't get much bigger than, say, 13 to 15 feet.
That's still pretty big. And their teeth are how long?
A couple of inches.
Excellent. All right. And so if I were to go back a million years ago and I find that same alligator's ancestor a million years ago, how big is he, like nose to snout to tail?
Oh, he's 100 feet long.
Jesus God, you are kidding me.
No, they were big.
I was prepared for like 20, 25, 100 feet long?
Well, the longest crocodile that exists today, although I don't think, frankly, you'd see many, if any, of them just because of hunting, but there have been saltwater crocodiles that have grown to be 30 feet long contemporarily.
30 today?
Yes.
Oh, that's not right. 100 feet long. How?
First of all, he's freaking out because he has a real fear of alligators.
I got a whole fear of creepy things that live in the water.
Oh, yeah.
Like, not just at crocodiles. I'm talking the Loch Ness Monster,
like
sturgeon.
The giant squid that live underneath the Tacoma Narrows.
Giant squid.
Well, you don't want to go swimming in Australia.
Why? Why is that?
Because that, they have a lot of saltwater crocodiles there.
Oh, and so, let's get back to this 100-foot alligator a million years ago. How big would that would those teeth have been?
Oh. You know, I don't know for sure. I'm estimating that it would have been 8 to 10 inches long.
Oh, dude.
For the biggest of them.
That is just not right. Give me an example. Let me just so I understand this. 100-foot-long alligator. Fill in this sentence. 100-foot-long alligator using an object that we know the general size of. A 100-foot-long alligator could swallow a blank in one bite.
In one bite?
What could a 100-foot-long alligator swallow in one bite?
A 30-foot saltwater crocodile.
Oh, that's just wrong, dude. That ain't right. Oh, God damn, that is seriously unnerving. That's why I don't go in the water at all. All right, well, let's get to this story, because I know you're very busy. We're speaking now to Criswell, exotic pet specialist. Now, I have this story from KGW, and you may have heard this. Here it is from KGW. This is not a made-up weekly world news, kooky radio story. This is from KGW News, Channel 8, Dateline Vancouver. This is by Teresa Bell, who is a writer for KGW. A pair of Guatemalan tourists stranded on an island in the Columbia River said they were terrified and believed that they saw alligators while awaiting a rescue overnight. A member of the Coast Guard crew led the rafters. Oh, this is a caption. Joel Salguero Orellana and Elio Esdras had ventured out on a rafting trip Tuesday, hoping to catch some fish on the Columbia River. Their small inflatable raft floated off course, and they got stuck on Reed Island near Corbett. A Coast Guard helicopter crew eventually spotted the pair, blah, 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 blah. It got them to safety. However, Ariana and Esteras told their rescuers they had a tough night, that they saw alligators and other animals lurking around the island.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the police said what they always say, which is, no, 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 there's nothing to fear. So I figured I would ask you, is that at all possible?
But how many empty beer cans did they find?
Okay, well, so there's the answer, I guess. So is it just too cold? Is that the thing?
Yeah, essentially. All subspecies or species of crocodilians are found in tropical waters. And, you know, so they need temperatures that are from 75 to 95 degrees to be able to regulate correct body temperature, to have the correct metabolism, to be able to digest their food, all those kinds of things. So it's conceivable that something could live for a short period of time here, but both the air temperatures and the water temperatures are far too cold.
All right. Now, can crocodiles and alligators, can they move between salt and fresh water?
Some can. Yeah. In fact, some live in those areas specifically.
All right. What is the furthest north, do you think, in the United States that an alligator or crocodile could really make its home?
I think it's Georgia.
All right. Well, we're pretty safe then.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I think you're relatively safe.
All right. We do have one call. We have somebody here actually has a question for you. Hi, is our friend Kara. Kara?
Hi.
Hi, Kara. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm doing great. Hi, Kim.
Do we all know each other here, or?
Tim is the wonderful, hilarious man who gave me my first job out of grad school.
Hey, Criswell? Okay, you scared? He ran.
I think you thought you cut him off.
No, he's
fantastic. You need to talk to him more. He's hilarious.
Well, I tried, but he ran it. Oh,
I'll email him.
Criswell.
Or I'll scorn and shame him by email.
Okay, yeah, that'll get him back.
It will.
Great.
I promise. I know him well.
All right, thank you, Kara.
Bye, hon.
All right, there you go. One of the
real good one, Rick.
I didn't do anything.
We should break.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Criswell. Okay. Well, and we're done. There you go. Criswell, ladies and gentlemen, exotic pet specialist. Best show ever.
It still says that you haven't picked up.
I haven't done anything. Is this Criswell? All right, let's... Criswell, how are you, sir? I'm sorry. We were hoping to put you on with the care there, and then you hung up on us.
Oh, I think it was by accident. I didn't do anything on purpose.
All right. Well, we're going to wrap this up here. I know you're very busy. What is the name of your store, sir?
Healthy Pet Exotics in West Lynn.
Healthy Pet Exotics. And if we have any further alligator or crocodile questions, can we get you on about that?
You betcha.
Criswell, thank you so much, sir.
You're welcome.
All right. There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, Criswell. Back after this, AM 970, Solid State Radio. The Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Thank you for coming by. Many emails claiming that Criswell. Many emails claiming now that alligators cannot live in the Columbia River, but that, wait for it, some sharks can. There you go. Think about that. 503-733-2970. You know, here's the thing. Someday when somebody does guess the mystery noise, we're going to actually have to bring the thing here in the studio and create do the noise live on the air, because no one will believe us. We've got, in just a moment, Jim Roop. Then we will have the City Desk. We've got more of your phone calls.
Who is breaking news?
Is that Lindsay Lohan?
That's a really good picture of her.
I'm a big fan of that picture right there. Kind of a...
I'm going to post that.
More of a maternal kind of a look. Oh, and do you have breaking news?
I do, yes.
So we'll get to Jim Roop in just a moment. Let's go to the City Desk with Tim Riley for breaking news.
From higher top to the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News Beat. This is a news splash. Breaking news out of Southeast. Dateline 69th and Knight, Southeast. A mailman has escaped being tasered and having his mail stolen. Apparently, this mailman delivering mail at 69th and Knight, Southeast, was distracted by a woman who lunged toward him to grab his mail tray. Well, he grabbed the tray, but unfortunately, there was a man hiding behind the van who jumped out and tried to taser the mailman. He missed. The mailman chases people into a car who take off with one of the trays of mail, but he writes down the license plate number, and now the police are on your tail. Surrender. Give up. We have your license plate. Those people who tried to taser the mailman, he was quicker than you, and we hear it was an old-fashioned taser anyway. They couldn't hurt a flea.
If you surrender now, you will be treated fairly. If you resist, you will be punished.
That's 69th and Knight, Southeast, a mail thief.
And are you, Sarah, are you calling Justin?
Yeah.
All right. You are one of the many mailmen in the audience. Do we have a mail number? We don't. We don't have the warm line because Roop is on the warm line. Well, that's okay. It doesn't matter. Let's go to...
It sounds like something that somebody would do in L.A., but that type of crime is burying its evil head here now.
Let's go to Los Angeles. CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop. How are you, sir?
I'm well. Good afternoon.
Apparently, things are just going to hell in a handbasket up here. Probably Californians that did that. They're everywhere. They're here they're spreading all the way through. So, all right, well, we'll try to find out.
Little advisor, you need to update your taser.
That's what I'm saying. So was this a two-person ambush?
Yes, it was, a woman and a man. The man was hiding behind the van as the woman lunged toward the mail carrier.
So the woman lunges to the mail carrier.
He ducks.
He ducks. The guy comes out.
With a taser.
Bam, tries to tase the guy.
He
misses. Mm-hmm. And then the postal guy chases them off.
He chases them, but... Either the man or woman grabbed one tray of mail, and there wasn't one check in with those World Welfare people.
Oh, that's totally, that must be, what day is today, the 20th?
Yep.
Is it check day? Does anybody know?
I don't live in that type of neighborhood. I wouldn't know.
I'm sorry. If one of the CBS radio part-time employees would like to call and let us know if it's welfare check day, perhaps you might know.
One of the board ops.
If you're... let us know.
Oh, wait a minute. We don't have any board ops anymore, do we?
Good times. How's life in Los Angeles, Jim Roop?
It's warm.
Okay. Hey, what's Michael Jackson being sued for today?
Well, this is a name that came up during the trial last year, Mark Schaffel. He's claiming that Jackson has not repaid some loans. He's not paid for some services rendered, some record deals, record work, things like that. So, and Jackson's not going to be in court. Jackson's testifying through depositions. He's traveling in Europe right now. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of business people being called to the stand and say it's going to be ridiculous.
I've got sound on this, actually. This is from Blender Magazine. Blender, editor at large. What does that mean, at large? Do you know?
He hasn't got the job yet.
He's just sort of showing up there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it means you're out and about.
Adam Higginbotham, that's an unfortunate name, says the people of Bahrain, which is where Jackson apparently lives, people of Bahrain are pleased with the exposure Michael Jackson has given the country.
They kind of like having a resident celebrity, I think. The reporter that we sent out there found that a lot of people in Bahrain think that it's good to have something that's drawing attention to the country, because most people don't know where Bahrain is.
I couldn't pick out... I have no idea where Bahrain
is. It's a little island. It's regarded as the Las Vegas of the Middle East.
Is it an island?
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
Or a tiny inlet off a body of land.
Apparently, he says it's where people in the Middle East go to misbehave. Let's mm-hmm. listen.
It's treated by people who live in Saudi Arabia as a kind of offshore amusement park, because they're allowed to do things there that they're not permitted to do in Saudi Arabia.
They
wade
their
burkas. It's a Muslim country. It's kind of like, you know, it's possible there to eat pork and drink alcohol and go to nightclubs.
You can show your ankles in Bahrain.
Wave their veils at each
other. You can put your veil at a rakish angle.
Show off your ankles.
All right. But they're suing him, but so he lives in Bahrain. They're never going to get any of this money, are they?
I don't even know how far this is going to go. I mean, this whole case is kind of strange. I mean, Schaffel's just talking about how Jackson never carried money with him, didn't have any credit cards. He would, you know, had a bunch of advisors with him that, and would ignore their advice and promise riches and rewards and never follow through, and owes a lot of people a lot of money. So, this is a lot of hearsay going on here. I don't know how they're going to track most of this stuff, but it'll be interesting to see what happens with it.
Who is it that owns Neverland now?
I have no idea.
I mean,
it's still the Jackson family.
I thought at one point it was going to be taken over by the county or the
Six Flags.
Yeah.
There was rumors he was going to sell it. There's rumors that the Jackson family is now running it. Maybe Tito's in the guard shack now. I have no idea. But I don't know what's been going on. And I hear that the grounds are in disarray. Holy mackerel, weeds are growing on Neverland. But I don't know. I wish I could tell you.
I don't know. Any excuse to use the word Tito in this story, though. That really is... Really, I don't even care where the actual news is, as long as you get to say Tito Jackson.
Thank you.
Has Tito Jackson ever recorded an album? Do you know?
By himself? I don't think so. The only two that have ever done anything on their own, I think, successfully, is Michael and Jermaine.
Tito is just... I guess every family needs its Shemp. Do you know what I mean? Every family needs its Zeppo. Tito is Zeppo. I mean, he's got to know that it's true.
Hey, if I had that money, I wouldn't care.
Yeah, no, I mean, whatever. Your last name is Jackson, you know, you can just cash in, baby.
Call me whatever.
Hey, on a unrelated subject, so you guys have got once a year, the wildfires that are happening.
Once a year, all year long, it seems. I mean, once they start, they don't stop. There's a big one going on just east of Santa Maria right now, by the way, you know, where the Jackson trial was last year. And there have been several over the past couple of weeks, many of them suspicious. This one sounds suspicious to me. They're claiming that the fire started when a piece of metal blew into some electrical wires.
That sounds like some punk kids who ought to be back in school.
Something. Right. There's 6,000-plus acres burned already, and it's heading toward the Angeles or the Los Padres National.
All right, well, I hope
not threatening any homes, but, you know.
It's a drag, though, and you got to go to, like, 500 firefighters out there and everything.
And
so
you firefighter, you got to go, why did I pick this for a job?
Do you get paid well to be a firefighter in L.A.?
You have to, otherwise there wouldn't be any.
Yeah,
I think they used to use prisoners to fight the big ones.
They ought to bring that back.
Well, they do that for the Forest Service. The California Department of Forestry has those prison chain gangs. Right. They get out there and they cut the fire lines and all that stuff. You know, they give them weapons, they give them axes. And
how could that go wrong?
You know, it can't. You know, because they can't run anywhere.
I guess it's true. You're surrounded by walls of flame.
Yeah, law enforcement's on one side and the fire's on the other. Where are they going to go?
I guess that is true. All right. Well, enjoy the rest of your afternoon, my friend, and we will talk to you very soon to chronicle the decline and implosion of this sad, sad world we live in. Jim Roop, thank you, man.
All right, buddy.
All right, there you go. Jim Roop in Los Angeles. All right. Rick, remember, this email says, it was once believed that sharks had to keep moving to stay alive. That turned out to be false. Don't forget, a few alligators could easily swamp one of those dragon boats. Stay out of the water. Love the show. You know, they didn't think that sharks could move between salt and fresh water either. Till you read that book, Michael Capuzzo, Close to the Shore, about those 1906 shark attacks on Jersey that inspired Jaws. Shark inside a pond. Kill you dead. Kill you just as soon as look at you. All right. Sarah Dillon, producer of the Rick Emerson Show. We got all these calls. We got Tim. We got the text messages coming in. I got all this stuff. What say you? What should we do here?
All right, no, it wasn't Justin. What else did we have? We had the Connie Chung song.
Oh,
why
damn.
Why don't we listen to that?
Okay, Tim, have you heard the Connie Chung song?
I did. I sent it to you.
All right, it's right here. This is,
nobody watched it because nobody was ever watching
the
show.
And then we
this got more publicity than ever did on the air.
Got these calls. So Connie Chung and Maury Povich were apparently doing a show on MSNBC. This, is, by the way, is a show I've never seen. A program that I think no one else ever saw this. Connie Chung does what? Is she she's an anchor somewhere?
I don't think so.
Does she do anything now?
No, she's just Connie Chung.
That's her whole thing? She what did she used to do? Was she an evening anchor with Dan Rather? Wasn't that her thing? She was a co-anchor?
She was the first female co-anchor on CBS.
All right. And
but
then,
that's a forgotten fact.
And then Maury Povich was...
Married her.
Foolishly. Her and her... Yeah.
And dyed his hair to look younger for her. He used to be gray.
And then he was on A Current Affair, right?
Correct.
And now he just has Maury.
He does Maury.
All right, whatever. I'm going to read the story, then we'll play the song, then we'll break, then we'll get to these calls, and then I'll apologize for everything. The rating-starved Maury Povich and Connie Chung weekend show on MSNBC, which no one even knew existed...
Sunday mornings.
...ended its short six-month run with a bizarre send-off. Sure to live on as a tone-deaf stunt, Chung will not soon be allowed to forget... You have to pick, I've got this sound, by the way, but you have to picture this video that goes with it. I'm going to play the video. Perched on the edge of a white grand piano and decked out in a full-length evening gown, the former CBS and CNN anchorwoman warbled a farewell song that put down Dan Rather, her husband, and cable TV at the same time. Oh, thanks for the memories, she sang to the tune of the old saying. Okay, so this is not, not making this up. This is apparently the closing moments of this horrible and unwatched Connie Chung Maury Povich show. She is, I'm looking at the screen right now, she is sitting on a grand piano, Fabulous Baker Boy style, except she's Connie Chung. She's wearing a white evening gown and looking very, very bizarre. And this is her, apparently. This is we're playing this now. This is Connie Chung, and this is, I guess, the final, is this the final thing they aired? Do we know? Oh, that's me. I've leaned on the microphone button again. Oh.
Well, this is the final thing they aired.
All right. Oh, now it's frozen. Oh, I've done that thing again where I've led up to a deal and then it hasn't.
Well, YouTube isn't very dependable anyway.
No, I had it all. I had it playing earlier, though. Oh, I wonder if we should break and then just come back.
Why don't we do that?
Yeah, probably.
Give the kids
a long history of things that we tease and then never actually get to play.
It's not our fault this time.
It's a gripping sound. You're ever going to... No, I guess we can't. All right. So, 503-733-2... 970. I wonder if this is another case where they've, like, taken it down.
They did it already twice.
Yeah. All right, you stay there. We'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from... Okay, it's queued up. We'll play it on the other side. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. We'll play this Connie Chung's time we get back. Then we got these calls about the mystery sound like it's the three-world-famous Phil Hendry Show at 7. You stay there. Don't go anywhere. Ladies and gentlemen, pleased to be listening now to the mellifluous sounds of Connie Chung right here on the Rick Emerson Show. With your touching farewell to the touching send off.
It's
a long way to go for a cheap joke.
She's beautiful.
Really? If you didn't know any better, though. Like, if you didn't know who Wing was, and I said, this is Connie Chung, like, you would completely buy this. Just like me, doing a fan dance of some kind. All right. You have to stop. No, I have the real Connie Chung son. All right. Let me just read this one email as by way of introduction. This email says... Rick, I've seen some clips of the Maury Connie show via The Soup, which is a revamped version of Talk Soup, which is fantastic. Connie apparently, they have a segment called Poe and Con, apparently.
Oh.
Connie also made a comment about how she knew what it was like to be married to someone who is less than a man. Maury Povich sat there and looked legitimately hurt after that comment, and he sort of whispered, "Do you really believe that?" as Connie threw it to a commercial break. Maury then mumbled on camera, "I can't believe you just said that," as he sat there looking like he wanted to eat the barrel of a gun. Fantastic. Says, there you go. That's from our good friend, Todd the Corpse. Oh, damn. Nah, I don't have the thing. Blah, 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 blah. Come on. All right, so this is Connie Chung live on the air.
Thanks for the memories.
Oh, no.
We came to do a show for very little dough. By little, I mean I could make more working on Skid Row. That's cable TV.
Oh, I'm embarrassed for all of us. Now,
I just got like goosebumps because it was
so
it's so
embarrassing.
Bad.
Okay, but look at her in the dress.
Okay.
Okay, now she's in this evening gown on top of a piano.
Thanks.
Oh, she's
for
tripped.
The memory.
She's straddling a piano.
Half and swaying.
Flew by. My Maury, what a guy. Instead of asking who's the daddy, he could talk Dubai. How stunned were we all.
Oh.
Maury would talk instead of listening, unaware of the concept of whispering. And when he did say the right thing, it was...
Okay, she's laying down
and like,
writhing on a piano.
And like crotch to the entire audience. Look at her.
Everybody's getting the big upskirt shot right now. She is rolling around on a piano. First of all, this guy playing piano, can you hear the piano? Do you hear any music?
That's Maury.
Is that Maury?
That's Maury playing the piano.
That's a black man.
That's not Maury. This is an African American gentleman, Tim.
Are you sure?
He's one of our many African American friends in this country of many.
Clearly, Connie is jumping the shark.
Okay, there. But I can't hear any music. Okay, this is Connie.
So rare. Why should I care? Thanks. For the memories, the thing I love the most about hubby as co-host is all those other anchors were as dull as Melba toast. The sparks really flew.
Kind of getting off the piano.
Almost her underwear.
For the memories.
Oh, God.
Was she kidding?
No.
That's the show.
Okay, that's
now she's sticking her butt out.
I've got bigger things to do.
No, she really doesn't.
No, you don't. She won't for a while. The piano player's a black man, by the way.
That baby's how taboo.
She's sticking her butt out of the camera.
I'm like rubbing it.
Enough.
Oh, my God. Oh, it's Linda McCartney all over again.
No, it's Yoko Ono all over again.
For the memories, as we come to a close, we say to friends and foes, thanks for tuning in to watch the Con take on the pose. We thank you.
God.
Security?
Oh, my God almighty.
That's a joke.
Is that going on her reel? No, that was live.
That was live?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that makes me feel
Sunday
so
morning when nobody was watching it. More people have seen it on YouTube and heard
drunk?
It here. Than
is she on, like, prescription
she
medication?
She sounds inebriated.
And she looks like it, too. Did you see her fall off that piano and then shake her butt?
Mm-hmm. It's shameful.
This
is a new low in journalism.
You've got to post that link on your site, Rick. People that have to see that.
There are no words for how bad that is.
No.
And Connie Chung, I'm not saying she's an unattractive woman. She's not my cup of tea, I guess. I never really paid much attention to her. She seems kind of plain looking to me. But you know what? You got to know what look you can and can't pull off, sister.
I like to see Katie Couric try that.
I got nowhere to go after that. The whole end of the show on kind of a, sort of a, I feel all these callers.
It's not even funny. It's just terrible.
No, pathetic,
just,
isn't it?
No. Oh. A stain on her house. Scotty, will you apologize to the people? I'm sorry. There's no time to be, I don't have any, I got nothing left.
Words escape us.
Really, yeah. I would be no good now as taking these calls. No time to be, as Rush Limbaugh would say, no time to be fair to another caller. Yeah, we got to end it now. Okay. Well, there you go.
Where there's nowhere to go but lower. MSNBC.
No. Oh, God. All right. Tomorrow, Dennis Pittenberger in the studio. We'll be talking about some other things. Thanks to Lisa Goddard, Jim Roop, Ed McCarthy. Tomorrow, Top 5 Summer Songs is picked by Scotty J.
Did you think Criswell?
Thank you to Criswell also. Criswell! Tomorrow. It's 503-733-2970. You stay there. This is the Rick Emerson Show. Like us next. World famous Bill Hendry Show at 7. See y'all. Bye now. Tell him the best is great now. Or sing to you. And anyway, bye.